God is a good God. I just want you to know today, to start your year off right, you must know and believe that God loves you completely. There's nothing you've ever done that disqualifies you from having the best time, the best year, the best everything. And I'm just so excited and honored to be here today. Actually, I was scheduled to be here for many, many months. And when I was with you a couple of weeks ago, it was just to help the bishop out. But I saw him last night, and my goodness, he is full strength, and he's ready and raring to go. So you're going to have a great week next weekend. Make sure you're here, all your family and friends. Fill the house of the Lord, and let's celebrate God's goodness for raising up Bishop Pruitt in wonderful health. So his heart's full, too. I'm talking to him about dreams, and things you carry in your heart are your most prized possession. And so you can't let the devil rip you off in any capacity. What I want to do is just share with you today some things that will encourage you. I'm excited about this year. And like I said, God loves you completely. And this is the best news for the human heart. Most people know God loves them. They always hear, you know, Jesus loves me or God loves you, that kind of thing. But most people don't believe it. You have to know and believe the love God has for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." I like this phrase, that we should be called the children of God. You know, wonderful thing about being family, you don't have to qualify to be in the family. I was born in the Hershey family. I didn't have to qualify to be there. I just was the blessing that showed up. But it's kind of like with the family of God. A lot of people try to be perfect and cleaned up and their life fixed to be qualified for God to take them in. God takes you in just as you are. And it's such an amazing reality that every human heart on this planet should hear how much God loves them. See, many people know God's love, but they're resisting the love of God. They don't know how to receive the love of God. Now, how can you tell if you're resisting the love of God or if you're not receiving the love of God? If you live with condemnation, if you live with shame, if you always feel guilty, if you always feel dirty, if you always feel inferior, if you always feel like you don't have anything to qualify yourself, then you're basing your life with Him on your effort or what you do. But God loves you completely, not through your effort, but through Jesus' effort. So we have to learn to receive God's love. In fact, this is what I want to talk to you about for the new year. Most people at the beginning of the year make New Year's resolutions. How many made a New Year's resolution? Anybody at all? Sometimes people have a resolution, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Anybody have that kind of, you know, I've done that over the years. Or people say, I'm going to read the Bible through this year, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And those things are good, but how many know that eventually your effort will fail you? So what I want to encourage you today is to make a resolution to position yourself to receive the love of the Father. God's love for you has to be believed and it has to be received. Maybe people are resisting the love of God and they don't know it. You know, my wife Heidi and I, just this last week, we celebrated our 27th wedding anniversary. And, you know, I still love Heidi. Heidi still loves me. But Heidi's love for me does me no good unless I position myself to receive it. I have to know how to receive her love. If I want to give Heidi a hug and she's resisting my love, even though my love is good for her, it cannot help her because she's not receiving the love of her husband. It's the same way with our relationship with God. We have to position ourselves to receive the love of the Father. Look at the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God and God in Him." I like that first phrase, "we have known and believed." A lot of people know of God's love, but they really don't believe it. They feel they've got to qualify for something. So I want to talk to you about how you can experience this love, and this is going to be the main part of what I want to teach you on. So if you have a Bible, go with me to 2 Samuel. I think I'm going to just take time and read this whole story to you to give you the framework of what's happened. David has become king. And in the process, he begins to look for somebody he can show his kindness or his love or His favor to. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, this, is, by the way, is the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Let me ask you the question, who was Jonathan? Jonathan was a friend of David's who had a covenant with him. Jonathan was also the son of Saul, who was the king in Israel. So because David had a covenant with Jonathan, now Jonathan is deceased, he's dead, David asks himself a question when he comes into ruling. He says, is there anybody connected to Jonathan? Anybody in this kingdom connected with Jonathan that I may show love and grace to? The Bible says in verse 2, there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still somebody of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness, the kindness of God, or the favor of God, the goodness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There's still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." You know, most of us have been lame spiritually.
Yeah.
Most of us really grew up knowing we're sinners, and we excelled at it. Can somebody say amen? You know, I mean, we're real good at sinning, at losing. Our humanity is very evident. And so we were spiritually lame. We couldn't get around. And so look at it says, verse 4, "So the king said to him, where is he?" I want you to know that God loves you so much right where you are. And He wants to rescue you. But you have to position yourself not only to know the love, but to believe the love of God so you can receive it. And position yourself for everything, not based on you, but based on one you have a covenant that connects you to. So because of a covenant David had with Jonathan, this person named Mephibosheth is qualified, not through himself, but because of a covenant David had with his father. Verse 5, "Then David, the king, sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar." Lodabar means a barren place. And it says, "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he said, here is your servant." Notice how unqualified this guy thinks he is. He thinks judgment has come. A lot of people think God's that way, like He's mad and ticked off at you and wants to beat the crap out of you.
Yeah.
God is not that way. God loves you completely. No matter how crippled you are, no matter what you've done, you have to know and believe that God loves you completely, and don't resist Him. Get ready to receive the massive love of the Father, because it qualifies you for everything. And so it says, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear." Now this is really the voice of the Father for us for your year. "Do not fear this year." It says, "For you have found favor or kindness from me for Jonathan, your father's sake." Notice, because of a covenant connection, the seed of the covenant had access to something he did not deserve. And because Mephibosheth was in Jonathan, David's blessing and favor came his way. What came? Restoration. Look at this. "He's going to restore to you all the land, Saul, your grandfather. And you're going to eat at my table continually." I want to talk to you about having access to everything the Father has for you. In other words, you're welcome to the table. Don't you like the table here today?
Yeah.
Pastor Barb put this together for me. I like it so much because I want to show you an illustration. When you know and believe that God loves you completely, independent of yourself, independent of your lameness. Some of you aren't lame in your feet, you just have a lame brain. You know what I mean? You've made stupid decisions. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Thank God that's not you." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn to your other neighbor and say, "I've been wondering about you." No, don't do that. Praise the Lord. But see, we've all done stupid things. We've all been lame. Have you ever woken up and said, "How could I have been so stupid? How could I have treated that person so bad? How could I have lost my temper so publicly? How could I have disrespected my own life and my own integrity and my own heart?" We've all missed the mark. We've all been lame in some capacity. But because of a covenant, you have access to everything the Father has. It's not because of you. It's because you are in Christ. The covenant between God and Jesus qualifies you for everything in the kingdom. You have to know it, and you have to believe it so you can receive it. Otherwise, you always live resisting. You always feel unworthy. You always feel like you have to do something to gain the favor of somebody or the favor of God. Look at the Bible goes on to say now in verse 8, then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Do you know what most of us, most people outside of an honest, open relationship with God feel like losers? They feel like they're good for nothing. They're just a bum, a dead dog. This is the way he felt, but he's the grandson now of the former king. And he had no idea that he qualifies not based on what he can give the new king, but based on his father had a covenant with this man named David. Look at the Bible says. And verse 9, and the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. What amazing opportunities for you this year. What you thought you lost, you're going to gain. The money you thought you lost, you're going to gain. The relationships you thought you lost, you're going to gain. If you receive the love of God. Why am I crying so good? Look at this. It said, verse 10, you therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest. Notice he's going to gain the harvest. And your master's son may have food to eat, but Mephibosheth and your master's son shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so your servant will do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he will eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Amazing. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he ate continually. Everybody say continually. At the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. Have you ever been invited somewhere where you felt you didn't belong? I remember being invited to a nice restaurant, and it was like too good to be true. Have you ever eaten in a restaurant that was just so high-end? You think, wow, what in the world am I doing here? See, I'm a Midwest boy. So I grew up out in the country, in a little town in Michigan. My father's a bricklayer. I'm one of five kids. We never had money. And so to go to a restaurant was a treat once a year. We got to go into a restaurant and get a hamburger basket. Yeah. We were told what we had to order. I'll never forget when I got older and the Lord saved me and blessed me. People started blessing me. Amazingly. I've eaten at presidents' tables around the world. Palaces. I've been all over, invited to most distinguished places, most famous people, and I sit at the table. It's overwhelming. You know, I'm crying a lot today. I'm starting the year in tears. Aren't you having a good time? Go ahead, give the Lord a big shout of praise. You all came to the table today, totally unqualified. The table of the Lord. Because by faith you partake, you're going to receive the love of the Father. This is why what you're doing is so important. And this is where the Lord has access to help you. I remember, you know, as a young boy, we would go to this neighboring town, go to this little restaurant called the Stone Inn. and all of us five kids would get a hamburger basket. And it was the best thing in the world. Wow. We're at a restaurant. I remember when a fast food restaurant came to a neighboring town. We could go once a year if we used our own money to get a hamburger and french fries and a drink, 99 cents. And we'd go once a year. Wow, it was during the sidewalk sale days. And we could go to a restaurant. That's my framework of thinking. I remember when I went into the ministry many years ago, there was a pastor in Chicago. He took interest in me. And he said, you know what? You're going to be a rich missionary. I said, man, you got faith for something. Because I never felt I had anything. I remember one time he took me to a restaurant. Very exotic restaurant. You go in, you're all dressed up. They wash your feet at your table. You ever have anybody wash your feet in a restaurant? It's amazing. You feel like vulnerable. You feel like, wow, do I belong here? This is overwhelming me. You know, when I got the menu, it had all the exotic food. There wasn't prices on my menu. Maybe uncomfortable. Because I always order the cheapest thing. Do I have a hearty amen? Yeah. If something's a little more, I say, no, I'll order something a little less. I still do. My mind's still trapped. No prices. And this guy knew I was frustrated. He said, Keith, he said, I want you to know you're blessed, not based on what you think you're worth. You're blessed because you're in Jesus. Welcome to the table. You and I have to understand that God loves us so much, He wants to give us massive favor. Mephibosheth came to the king's table and he lived there forever. Not based on how lame he was, but based on his position in Jonathan. You have access to the table of the Lord and everything the Father has, and you can sit like a king. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says, if we're children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? See, David took the initiative to find Mephibosheth, and God takes the initiative to find you. He just wants you to know you're loved. You're loved completely. You ever have a good table talk at a nice restaurant with somebody? Wow, it's amazing what can transpire. It's amazing how your heart can leap. And it all happens because you've been invited. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners. While you were lame, while you were a loser, is when you're looked for. So don't disqualify yourself today and think, oh man, for me to have a good year, I got to base it all on my ability. It's not based on you, it's based who you are in. If you are in Christ, you have access to the table of the Lord. You have access to everything the Father wants to give you, and He will bless you abundantly. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The Bible says Jesus still seeks those who will receive this kind of massive love. Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those which are lost. Wow. This is why I'm in ministry. This is why I'm always going to the nations. I want to yield and submit to the love of God, the grace of God. I want to receive it completely. I don't want to be like Peter and draw back, but I want the blessing fully. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, and if by grace, then it's no longer works or your effort. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You know, if your effort is attached to your position in Christ, grace is not available. It then works. So don't be so harsh on yourself in your humanity. Let grace give you the victory over yourself. You know, when you're free from you, it's a good day. That way, Jesus can be expressed fully in your life. Our Christian life and our foundation for everything in Christ must be established in receiving of God's love and receiving of God's grace. If you're basing your value, your righteousness, your blessing, your access, your favor on your own work or your own effort, your faith will be faulty. It'll be futile. And like we sang the song today, it's for by grace you have been saved. Through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. lest anybody should boast. You know, last weekend I was preaching in California. I have a friend, in fact, Bishop Jerry and Pastor Gloria know my friend. He's got a huge church, just built at the sanctuary auditorium, seats 4,000 people. The church just cost $46 million. They just moved into it. So I was there for their weekend services and I was preaching away, and I was in the hotel room before I went to the meeting, and God triggered something in my heart that I'd never thought about before. In fact, if you go in the Bible to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, let me show you verse 11 and 12. These are my life verses. This is how I was called into ministry. This is why people always ask me, Keith, why do you do what you do? Why do you go where you go in the nations? This is why. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I might be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith." Everybody say mutual faith. Both of you and me. Mutual faith is a Bible phrase. So our mission organization named Mutual Faith was found here. Notice mutual faith is something that's triggered in people when their hearts connect to do one assignment. Have a longingness for people. Verse 11 says, have a longingness for people and a desire to impart spiritual gifts. I used to call it spiritual commodities. But you know, I looked up this word spiritual gift. This word gift in the Greek language, I've never done it till Saturday. This word gift is the word charisma. Charisma means gifts of grace. The grace of God. That you're favored independent of yourself. That you're favored and blessed independent of your effort. That you don't have to qualify for any of it. Paul said what made him so excited is to tell people the truth that God loves you completely. Because when you impart the favor of God, the love of God, the grace of God, it does two things. It establishes you, it says, and it strengthens you, and then it triggers your faith, where your faith becomes co-mingled with those around you, and you build a strength, a mighty strength in the Lord. Why? Just because you've received the massive love of God, the massive goodness of God. And what is that massive grace of God? That all your sins have been forgiven and all your sins have been forgotten. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. That's what it says. It's all, go ahead, give the Lord a shout, somebody. Yeah, that's good news. Here's what charisma means in the Strong's Concordance. It's a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. Did Mephibosheth qualify to get to the table? No, he was paralyzed, lame. You know, society would say he can't offer anything. But you don't have your own merit in the game anymore. You have your value based on who you are in. Mephibosheth was in Jonathan, so a covenant covered him. You and I don't have a value in ourselves. Our personal abilities, what we did right, what we did wrong, when we screwed up, when we failed. Our value is based on who we are in. We are in Christ. We've received the love of Jesus. We qualify to be at the table. We're going to live good. We're going to live in the favor of God, the blessing of God. It's wonderful. So the gift of divine grace is really this word charisma. It means the economy of divine grace by which the pardon of sin and eternal salvation is appointed to sinners in consideration for the merits of Christ, not your merits. It's an eternal redemption. Paul said, man, I long to see people. Why? Because it's the message that's too good to be true. I want to tell everybody, receive. Receive the love of God. You don't have to qualify yourself, but you're welcome to the table. You're welcome to the best, finest, everything you can ever gain in the world. You're welcome. You don't have to, you don't have a degree. You don't have to be so smart. You don't have to have so many abilities. You come as you are, believing. And then everything in your life is refined in the favor of God and the grace of God. And then your works, your efforts are in the back end of your believing. And now you labor more abundantly by the grace of God and serve the Lord. And you wrap your heart with other people in a mutual faith. And it builds a strength in your life. Grace is also this assurance, knowing that you're loved and favored completely, strictly because you've chosen to believe what Jesus has done. This is what we're doing around the world. In fact, I've got a little video. This is my New Year's assignment. My New Year's assignment for Keith Hershey is just receive the love of the Father. Not to do anything in my own ability. Not to build so many churches and do so many things and win so many people to Jesus and lose 20 pounds, even though I need to lose 20 pounds. Not to do all these things. All these things will be a byproduct of receiving the love of the Father. And I'll show you how it works. But here's a little video. This is what happens when you receive the love of the Father. And this is why we preach in the nations. And this is why your church is so involved with it. Let's watch this video.
I was shattered by the fall.
Well, friends, see, this is what ministry is all about. Knowing and believing that God loves you completely. And you're qualified, not based on you. So get yourself out of your own mind. Stop thinking about yourself and think you got to be some goody two-shoe to qualify. Because the devil will always give you a reason why you're a loser in the flesh. Huh? You're not qualified based on you. You're qualified based on Jesus. The Father has a covenant with the Son. And Jesus proved it to the end, His love. And because we are in Him, we sit at the table. We have access to everything. Once you let God love you, then you let God love through you. Your faith is triggered. You join it with others. You invite them to hang out. When you find a good restaurant, you always want to tell somebody about it. You know, I flew into town yesterday afternoon, and a friend of mine, a couple friends picked me up, and one of them said, "Hey, I know where we can have lunch. I checked out this Mexican restaurant, and we found it, and we ate there. It was a phenomenal meal." You always talk about places that you enjoy. And if you really enjoy the grace of God, you're going to long to tell somebody about this. It's not like evangelism. You got to go talk to people and give them the four spiritual laws and this, that, and as an element of work. Now your life just becomes a lifestyle. You want to bless people. Why? Because I'm blessed. You want to help people. You want to encourage people. You know, I was thinking a couple days ago, this lady comes to my office. This is right over here in this last week. And, you know, I could tell she was a down and outer and challenged and needed help. And so what's love do? It triggered me just to rescue her and help her and stabilize her world so it can happen. Ministry is not something you have to find in terms of making an effort out of your own ability and patting yourself on the back and thinking you're wonderful. It's just, well, I long to see somebody and tell them the truth I found. Man, I know and I believe God loves me completely. I am qualified, not because I got a great education, not because I'm from a certain family. I'm just a little poor country kid that somehow the love of God touched. And now all over the world we can touch people. It's an amazing thing. So God's love for you is revealed in His unmerited favor, His grace. And all your sins have been forgiven. All your sins have been forgotten. In fact, go with me to Hebrews 8:12. I think they have it on the reference. Look at it. It says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." If you read in this whole chapter from verse 7 to verse 12, it's talking about the elements of the new covenant. Remember, God now in this chapter is talking about what He will do, what He will do, what He will do. The old covenant was based on what you would do, what you would do, what you would do. See, both covenants had a to-do list. The old covenant is based on what you should do or should not do. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. You know, until people tried to live based on their own ability. And the old covenant, the old system, there was a curse attached to your ability. What a bummer. If you do this, blessing is there. If you do not do this, cursing is there. How many of you know that your flesh will fail you and eventually you'll experience the curse? In the new covenant, it's not based on what you do now. It's based on what He will do. And what He will do is based on the cross of Jesus Christ. And now you can receive an abundance of grace. You can receive the gift of righteousness. And you sit at the table. How long? Continually. You're forever at the table of the Lord. And that's why every time you partake of communion, if you partake of communion at your house, or just practice receiving the love of God, this is all this preacher is doing this year. I'm not going to get all caught up in my own effort, my own work. The only thing I'm going to do is receive the love of the Father. Because when I receive the love of the Father, I gain everything. And He clarifies everything about my effort, where my effort needs to be attached, or doing, or corresponding actions, whatever terminology you like. But it's based now on receiving the love of God. I'll prove it from Scripture. Go with me in your Bible to John chapter 13. Verse 23, you know this story. They're all sitting at the table. Jesus is having a meal with the disciples. And it says, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Whom Jesus loved. Now, who's this verse talking about? John, the guy who wrote the book of John. So he describes himself, not in, you know, the terminology of John. He describes himself as the one whom Jesus loved. What was distinctive about John? John's whole framework of living was receiving the love of Jesus. Receiving the love of the Father. Not based on doing or effort. Based on receiving the love of the Father. Do you know that on four occasions in the book of John, this reference is made? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Let me ask you, can you look at yourself that way? See, this is my only New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution, this gospel preacher, this husband of a wife for 27 years, this father of a couple boys, this friend to the people in my little world, this is my only resolution. I just want to receive the love of the Father. Because when I receive the love of the Father, I will never disqualify myself based on my failure from sitting at the table. I can eternally sit at the table of the Lord and receive everything because it's not based on me. It's based on the one who I am in. I am in Christ. I'm a believer. I believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. And now I'm a receiver of everything He has for me. John said four times, the disciple whom Jesus loved. If you can look at yourself that way, everything will change. So the question is, will you let God love you? Or will you be stingy with yourself? Will you be protective of yourself? Are you too insecure that there's something so dark and so dirty that would disqualify you? Don't fool yourself. He knows everything already. So your little hiding and your little, you know, self-sufficiency and your little arrogance and your little proud ways, not doing nothing. Just open up your heart. Say, wow, I'm loved completely. And His love, when you sit with Him, will change you. It will give you victory over yourself, over your failure, over your temptation. Isn't that good? Can you expect God's grace and God's favor, independent of your weaknesses, independent of your failure, independent of your sin, independent of your crippled self? Mephibosheth was crippled, but he didn't have to depend on himself. Your greatest assignments in life now, your greatest assignments in ministry come to you when you know and when you believe that you're loved. Assignments that are based on your vision will eventually frustrate you. You know, I used to always be of the mindset, write the vision, make it plain. And there's a part of that I understand in life. But I realized a lot of the vision I've had in ministry was self-initiated. You know, when I get around all these, you know, high D personalities and all these preachers and pastors from around America and around the world, they're all driven more, and they're always trying to feel validated based on what they do. You know what? I don't subscribe to that anymore. I'm realizing my greatest assignments in life don't come from my vision. My greatest assignments in life come from knowing I'm loved. And when I let the Lord love me, and when Keith Hershey, like John, knows I am the one whom Jesus loves. Look what happened. I'm almost done. You glad I'm about done? Go with me to John chapter 19 real quick. Are you all having a good time? This is what I crave for you. Let God love you. Sit at the table. You're not disqualified. Don't worry about what you got on. Don't worry about where you've been. Don't worry about how you screwed it up. We all know you screwed it up. Life is full of screw-ups. Huh? Just come to the table. Understand the cross, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. His blood is your sufficiency. He already forgave your sin. He forgot about it. There's no more judgment attached to your failure. The judgment was placed on Jesus. Now come on in and get victory. Not in your own ability, but victory in His ability. Victory in His love. Look at here. John chapter 19, verse 25. The Bible said, now this is at the crucifixion. Now Jesus is on the cross. Notice what the Bible... I just thought of this 2 weeks ago. God gave me a fresh understanding about receiving love and what love triggers in you. Look at it says in verse 25. Now there stood at the cross of Jesus, stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, now think about this. Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. His blood is shedding. And he looks and sees his mother. Mary, what a woman. Wow. What faith. And she found faith only because she was introduced to grace. Hail, you're highly favored of God. The Lord is with you. And because faith was triggered in her life, be it unto me according to the word, grace was the environment where her faith could function. It wasn't in her ability. It was that the anointing, the Holy Spirit, would settle upon her. Now, Jesus is dying. He sees his own mother at the cross, watching the scourging and the death and the sword and the side and everything. He's dying. Look at it says. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. Now, who is that? John. What did John focus on? Not his own ability, not his own resolutions, not his own vision, not his own effort, not his who he was based on all his greatness. He focused on, I am the one whom Jesus... He just kept receiving of the love of the Father. And he was there at the cross as well. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. What happened? John's ministry was to receive the mother of Jesus. What an assignment. Do you know what I really tell people about the Middle East Mission Center? We're getting ready, by the way, to move in this month. I've been showing some pictures to some of my friends here. And Pastor Gloria this morning, I showed some. And the bishop last night. And just the development of this thing is amazing. It's magnificent. It's beautiful. Do you know this wasn't an idea I had? Do you know I wasn't looking for a thing to do? This had nothing to do with me to do anything. But you know how I believe God gave that to me? Because over the last 2 years, I've been developing myself, not in me. I've been developing myself in the one who loves me completely. Yeah. Your greatest assignments in life that give you the greatest joy always come when you know you're loved by the Lord, because then the Lord gives you these massive assignments. John, the one who received the love of the Father, always got the assignments to care for Mary, the mother of Jesus, for her whole life. And I believe he got the assignment because he knew how to receive the love of the Father. Did you all like the word today?
Yeah.
Give the Lord a big shout of praise, somebody. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Really let the Lord know. Glory. Well, go ahead and be seated if you want. You know, Barbie, I was wondering, do you have any like food that I could nibble on or anything? Or like filet mignon? And, some nice little goodies. Don't you think I should have some goodies up here? Look at that. The whole church agrees with me. I could be up here munching and just having a big old time. You know, God wants you here. Never let your frustration put you at a distance. God wants you here. He wants you here daily in your crippledness, when you've done stupid things. He wants you here. And then he wants you to invite others. Say, come. Sit at the table.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us completely. Lord, right now at the beginning of a new year, we take this as our only assignment to receive your love. Help us not to be cold-hearted and calloused and hard-hearted and frigid. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to fear not. And just come to the table. Thank you, Father, that there's no more judgment left for us. You put all the judgment on Jesus. He was judged for all of our stupidity, all of our sin. And if we can find ourselves in Him, we have access to everything. Lord, help us to be confident in Your company. Not based on our limitations, but based strictly on the blood of Jesus. Lord, I bless every home, every family, every individual. Lord, I say this is the greatest year of their life. Lord, help them daily to receive your love. Help them to know it. Help them to believe it so they can operate in it. Father, I take authority over every demonic strategy to disillusion people, to depress people, to fill them with fear about their finances, fear about their health, worried about the world. We take authority over every strategy of hell that tries to paralyze people from functioning in faith. We say we receive your love. Just say this with me. Say, thank you, Father. I receive your love. Jesus, you love me completely. I am blessed abundantly. I am highly favored. I sit at the table of the Lord, knowing that Jesus is my provision because I am in Christ. Now give me assignments for ministry here in the local church. In my neighborhood, where I live, surprise me with assignments where I can love somebody to life, where I can invite somebody to the table, where I can remove a burden, where I can be the blessing, not based on my ability, not based because I'm so great, but just based because I'm in Christ. I long to see people that I might impart to people the grace of God, the charisma, the favor of God. I give you praise for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give the Lord a big shout of praise. Praise the Lord. Well, boy, I made a decision this morning that I was not going to cry while I preached. It worked really good, didn't it?